We continue. Now, we still are actually stuck in verse 2, aren't we? So after sober mind, after being orderly, we come to a very, very important point. And that is, an overseer must be hospitable. Hospitable. What is it in Chinese, hospitable? Huh? Ah, okay, hospitable. You see, both the English word hospitable and the Chinese doesn't really get to the spirit of this, the meaning of this word, as Brother Lee has actually unfolded for us. And it is deeply touching, and this is a huge, huge point. In the qualification of the elders. So let us just get on with it. Okay, number one, hospitality requires love, care for people, and endurance. So we're not just talking about, you know, throwing some mats on the floor, you know, cooking some meals, which is part of it. But that's not the main intrinsic essential burden here. I remember when I got married, we got married in August, and then come December was the semi-annual. In those days, it's 10 days, 3 meetings a day, 4,000, you know, whatever, however many people, and we have this tiny little apartment with one bedroom. And we had the whole floor filled to the brim, sardine fashion, with brothers. You have to kind of walk over them, you know, to get to the kitchen. Well, I thought we were quite hospitable. And we were, in that way. But this is a lot more. A lot more. So let be open-minded when we study this matter, okay? Hospitality requires what? First and foremost, love. Brother, this is the top requirement, love. You don't love someone, you just barely give them a bed to sleep on and some breakfast. Well, you can start a bed and breakfast business. You don't love these people, you just want to make money, right? Love, brothers, is behind all of this. Love. You do this out of love. Number two, care for people. You really care for them, as we will see. A deep care for the saints, even the most uncomely ones, the most bothersome ones. And endurance, my goodness, hospitality requires endurance, a lot of endurance, more than patience. Endurance. The principle of hospitality, listen to this definition, I love it, is giving without receiving. Sometimes at the end of hospitality, the saints discreetly leave an envelope, you know, in the bedroom somewhere. And after a while, you got conditioned to look for the envelope. And oftentimes the envelope is there, but sometimes no envelope. Then you just, what is this? Giving without receiving. It is suffering, even suffering, without requiring anything in return. No envelope, nothing. Not even thank you. They just disappeared. Sometimes that happened. Will you complain? Will you murmur? Will you feel you got taken advantage of? That means we really are not hospitable. No requirement of anything in return. Generosity without expectation of reward. Hospitality means sacrifice with joy, but without recompense. That means no payback, no payment. And yet you still have to be joyful amidst sacrifice. And hospitality, as we know, is a sacrifice of convenience, of privacy, and all of that, and of your time and energy. But that's the test for an elder. Have you ever thought that elders should be hospitable? This is far cry from ruling, controlling, giving orders, being a king. An elder must have a heart and a spirit for such hospitality. Just underscore heart and spirit. You don't have that kind of heart and spirit, you even would do something in a what, you know, gritting the teeth way, you know, in a bare minimum way. All right, number three, the elders need to realize that serving the saints as overseers and shepherds requires much time, brothers, because human life is full of turmoil. Not only, this is not talking about your human life, it's talking about the human life of the saints that you're serving. Full of turmoil. It's sickness, it's losing jobs, it's marital situations, it's children's problems, the collection of humanity is a collection of turmoil, problems. In times of fellowship, the saints may tell the elders the entire history of their married life or family life. You know, saints would just call up the elder. They just want to talk. They don't even want solution. They just want someone to listen. Would you do that? That's not easy. We have better things to do, don't we, than listen to someone talk. You should read the ministry. Brother Lee spoke about this quite a bit. He said what? Brother Lee said something. He said, sometimes the saints would come to the elders and tell them the whole history of their personal life, from their grandpa all the way down to their marriage life, even to the gory details of their marriage life, their family life. Why? Because they respect the elders. They have that respect. And they think the elders should be their job. And sometimes out of politeness, they would say, well, brother, elder, I'm sorry I take so much of your time already, but do you still have some more time? I just need one more hour. That's it. If we can do it today, how about tomorrow? I have a lot of that experience. You just want to scream or something. And a good elder, in order to not offend the saints, have to say, it's okay, I have lots of time. When you don't have a lot of time. Brothers, to listen to the saints, the story is not the point. The point is that that's a lifeline for the saint. That's a lifeline for the saint. You think about it. Brothers, we all need to be saved, an elder, from selfishness, self-concern, self-centeredness, not to mention self-absorption. Our time is for people. That's it. We are just that empty vessel available not only to God, but to the saints. That's a good elder. Not easy. Really not easy. And human life being turbulent the way it is, all the times almost nonstop. Sometimes even I got approached by mature saints, these are not little kids, even mature saints need to talk, need some fellowship. Yeah? Okay, then it goes on to say, the elders must also realize that most Christians are weak. Isn't that true? Most Christians are weak, weak in their soul and even weaker in their spirit. Therefore, the elders need to help them to find rest by listening to their stories. You know, they actually are not looking for a solution. They're looking for some relief and some rest and some sympathy, even some empathy. And when they have that, they're happy. They're happy. We are very solution-oriented. We just want to, tell me the problem. Here's the solution. When they don't need a solution, they need to just talk. Isn't this the case with many of our sisters, wives? But we just want to just get rid of them by a good old solution. Oh, lot to learn, my brothers. So here, they think they want to come to you because to confide in you because they think they're able to tell you something they couldn't tell anyone else. They will talk to you about. Yeah. That's why confidentiality is very important. By the way, the relationship between a pastor, quote, quote, and a congregant is very much like a lawyer and a client, or a doctor and a patient. There's rule and law that dictates confidentiality. You don't go after such talk and go and blab. You may get yourself even in legal trouble if you're not careful. But anyway, in principle, the saints, they feel they could have no one to talk to, but the elders surely would listen to them. So we have to not reject the saints when they come to us for fellowship. Doesn't matter whether we can solve their problems or not. But if we can just provide them relief and rest and comfort by listening to their stories, it would be a great, great shepherding. And we've seen this again and again. I can never forget Brother Benson's story. The brother who would sit him up in a room and talk to him half of the night. And half of the time he was already sleeping. Just without falling down, just still propped up. And at the end of that, that brother said, "Thank you, Benson, for listening to me." Actually, he didn't listen to him. It was so helpful tonight. I always remember that story. That was my classic learning. Brothers, we all have to be good, available listeners. You know, there is a chapter, a good listener in that book, chapter 1 maybe, the character of the Lord's worker. Better study that. Study that. Character of the Lord's worker. Okay, if we can give them an hour or two so that they can release all that is on their heart, that will be a rest to them. We may not be able to solve their problems, but we can give them rest because they trust and respect us as elders. It's not a small thing to be a leading brother. The amount of trust the saints will suddenly place on you is phenomenal, unbelievable. And yet, we do not discharge our sort of responsibility by honoring that respect and by giving saints the time. Then we're not doing our job. That's why elders, real elders, should not be traveling here, traveling there, doing all kinds of things. They have to be available to the local saints. That is the good, proper elder. Okay. Just as an on-call physician must be available to provide medical care at any time, an elder must always be available to help the saints. This is part of what it means to be hospitable. Okay, hospitality equals availability. How about that? You're not available. You say, oh, my heart is very hospitable. But you're not available. When they call, you're not around. When they need your time, you can give it to them. Then what? You're not hospitable. All right? The need to be hospitable is a severe test to the elders. It tests whether we love the members of the church and are compassionate, patient, and willing to be a sacrifice. We must sacrifice our time, our rest, and even our material possessions. Paul was such a one in 2 Corinthians. He said, I love to spend and be spent on behalf of your souls. Brothers, those who are experienced would realize most of the trouble of human beings are troubles in the soul. In the soul. And the Lord is the shepherd of our soul. And many of us, many saints, are of little soul. Their soul cannot handle so much pressure and anxiety that they face in life. That is just common. So, brothers, we need elders who are compassionate, empathetic, sacrificial, of their time, even of their own privacy, of their rest and material possession. That's why Brother Lee gave that word to the eldest children, encouraging them. Yes, your daddy is so much taken away for the needs of the saints almost at the expense of you. Now, of course, we have to do this reasonably. We should be crazy and excessive and not care for our family or wives. I don't mean that. But you know what I'm talking about. There is an element of sacrifice. There is. If you're not ready to sacrifice, don't be an elder. It's that simple. Don't even think about it. All right? Okay. Even our material possessions. You just give. You just give. $20 here, $10 here, $100 here. The saint have some need. There's some desperate situation. You know, there's some accidents or whatever. Being hospitable, which is an endless job, is a matter of ability, not of ability, but of willingness. I mean, an elder is like an ER doctor on nonstop shifts. You know, I know. I mean, 3 o'clock, the phone call comes. These 3 o'clock calls are the most difficult ones. And I got 3 o'clock calls from mentally disturbed saints. What are you going to do about that? Do you just flick them away? What do you do? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm here stressing a principle here. Of spirit and heart. So here it says, it's not a matter of ability. Ability won't take you that far. Willingness, readiness of mind, and availability of your time do a lot more than just your gift and ability. Now you see. The sisters who want their husbands to become elders need to know that to be the wife of an elder is difficult because an overseer must be hospitable. Right? No first ladies. It's the wife of the first slave. The wife of a slave. That means you're also a slave. So for sisters to wish their husband will become an elder, probably are sisters who don't know what a true elder is. But how blessed the churches will be when there are brothers who, for the kingdom, would sacrifice themselves in this way. when I see elders like this, my heart is full of gratitude to them and thankfulness to the Lord that there are ones like this among the saints. Okay, G, let's go on. Apt to teach. Apt to teach. The word apt means tending, inclined, likely. I told you already, apt doesn't mean ability. Apt means a kind of inclination. You just have that kind of inclination. You like to do it. That's how your heart, that's where your heart is. You have that tendency. You have that propensity. An overseer should be able to teach, but the point here is that he must be willing to teach. I tell you, teaching people takes time and takes energy and requires a lot of patience. You speak three times and they still say, huh? Well, patience, love. To teach here is similar to parents teaching their children. An elder must be apt to render this kind of home teaching to the members of the local church. This is not a paid professor giving a lecture who have paid leaves and perks and benefits from his job. This is a thankless work of a parent. Just because these are your kids, you have to teach them in a homeschooling way, in a makeup way. This, of course, requires you to have a certain knowledge of the truth, but more than that, it requires you to have that willingness and desire. Number two, to teach here is similar to parents teaching their children. An elder must be apt to render this kind of home teaching to the members, okay, I read that already, of the local church. Three, an elder's gift or ability to teach is of secondary importance. Primarily, he must be concerned for the saints, learning and build up a willingness and a habit to teach the saints. You just do it habitually. If a brother is not knowledgeable concerning the truth, he is disqualified from the eldership. You don't go around to teach by giving a dense message. That's not what it's talking about. It is talking about you being able to give them something of some basic truth in a way that you have digested them. And you have even have a way of having applied them. And now you speak it to them in a way of ministry, in a way of feeding and nourishment. With the word of God, the word of truth. All right? Five, we must be willing to sit with a brother for several hours to help him see some crucial aspects of the truth. It takes time. You know, the time that is most consuming is to help a new one to know the church. It is time consuming because there's so many aspects of the truth, especially some who have a Christianity background. That is hard. They're loaded with baggage. You know what I mean? You have to unload, then you have to load them with the proper thing. Many times one sitting won't do the job. It takes weeks of fellowship, months of fellowship to bring someone to really know the church and the Lord's recovery. It takes time. Where is our patience to do that? We must, although this will exhaust us and test us, it should not be something that we merely tolerate, but something that we are inclined to do. Brothers, I find myself many times just tolerating the saints. My heart is already gone. I'm there just to tolerate them. These bothering, you know what I mean, ones. When I find myself in that state, I know I'm off already. At least in that situation, I'm disqualified. I even have saints calling me to advise me. Yeah, even sister. Brother Minoru, I treat you like my younger brother in the Lord. So let me tell you, you shouldn't have spoken that in your message this morning. What are you going to do with that? Right away, I put on my emperor's cloak and say, who are you? I have to thank you. Thank you, sister. I'll take that. Next time I will learn to improve. Yeah, that's what I have to do. You know, later there's a point called being gentle, right? The next point. Brothers, not easy. Let me tell you, not easy. So you have to learn. Not just be trained here. You need to go learn. Okay, we better finish this. I have only 10 minutes. Or 15 minutes. Well, anyway, not an excessive drinker. When Paul says that an elder should not be an excessive drinker, he, of course, has in mind not an excessive drinker of wine. However, the principle here is an elder should not be excessive in anything, especially anything addictive. Yeah? This requires strong control. It is quite difficult for people to control themselves once they begin drinking. When you're drinking, you lose your inhibition, you lose control of yourself, you just lose any kind of self-control, and you do crazy things. It is best not to drink at all. In this matter, we must control ourselves to the uttermost. Not just drinking, but other things. Just don't be excessive in anything that will cause you to become loose in your behavior, in your conduct. I, not a striker, but gentle. This is related to the... You know, I was just, when I first read it, when I was young, I said, what? Paul even have to tell elders not to hit people. I said, those must be the Roman days. They go around hitting people or something. Today you can call 911, you know, when you start hitting people. But nevertheless, apparently... The culture in the Roman days is they strike people, you know. Okay, not a striker, but gentle. This is related to the preceding qualification because many who drink excessively are strikers. When people are drinking, they cannot control their temper. A lot of domestic abuse comes from this. Drinking and physical abuse or verbal or emotional abuse are all wrapped up together. And brothers, so in our own household, surely in the household of God, we should stay away from these practices. Okay, when people are drinking, they cannot control their temper. The problem here is temper, brothers. The basic thought here is that we need to be calm and cool because drinking agitates and excites our temper. We should not drink. If we are calm, we will not quarrel or be a striker. To be gentle or mild is to be agreeable and flexible in every situation. To be gentle doesn't mean you just speak softly. To be gentle is a condition of being agreeable, easily approachable, calm, flexible, meek. According to Paul's word, to be an overseer is very difficult. We all say what? Amen. Not so loud, amen. That means you don't agree with this. You think to be an elder is easy, right? I say 10 loud amens to this, to Paul's word. Okay, J, not contentious. To be contentious is to be quarrelsome. You know, I would say the moment you quarrel, brothers, you basically lost. You lost it. To lose your temper in public, brotherly say even once, disqualifies you from the eldership. And to quarrel with the saints, or even with your co-elders, surely in that matter, in that situation, disqualifies you. Brothers, elders should not be contentious. I don't care what. Never fight with the saints and never fight with one another. An elder should not be contentious. He should be peaceable and not debate with others or contend with them. An overseer should never lose his temper. The elder should cannot contend or fight with other saints, but must be lenient and flexible with everyone in every situation. I've seen elders fight with saints. That is the most ugly scene there is. For saints to fight amongst themselves is bad enough. For elders to join the fight, to get into the ring, you know, it is just ugly to the uttermost. I said, this brother lost it. He has just totally lost it. He cannot be an elder anymore, really. Self-control, brothers. All right? An overseer must be very self-controlled, mild, and moderate. K, not fond of money. To not be fond of money is to bridle our lust for money. That means greediness, covetousness. Everyone has this lust, but an overseer must learn how to control it. The lust in our flesh is expressed mainly in three things. Number one, sex. By the way, brother, today a prevailing thing is internet pornography. Internet porn. Brothers, we need to be safe from that kind of stuff. How can you get involved with that kind of thing and serve the saints? Number two, temper. The lust to lose temper. Number three, the lust for money or covetousness or greediness. These three areas it combines to form the main lust of our flesh. These three areas are dealt with in the apostles' charge. A, to be the husband of one wife is to control sexual lust. B, to be temperate, not a striker, and not contentious but gentle, is to control our temper. C, to not be fond of money is to bridle our lust for money. Three directions of lust that needs an exceedingly vigilant exercise of self-control. Three, most of the qualification of the elders in these verses are related to controlling these three kinds of lust. An elder must be one who exercises strict control in these three things. Four, an elder must be pure in money matters, especially since the church fund is under the elder's management. Now, I really like to say a word here. Let me finish five also. An elder must realize that the money which passes through his hands is not for his personal gain. He should not even have the thought of monetary gain. Base gain. Monetary gain. Now, I like to say something here. Money. Very, very important, brothers. Part of the eldership's responsibility is the church finance. All right? It is so. And today, in the U.S. and in many countries that have similar systems, according to their constitution or law, you know, in the country, we have these nonprofit organizations, right? And the nonprofit is charity organization, including churches, and they are being given a nonprofit status in return for the benefit they generate for society. Are you following me? That's the basic concept. Why should the church be free of taxation? Because they are bringing benefit to society, helping society in a certain way. And so a nonprofit corporation, all the benefits does not inure to anyone who govern that organization or who operates that organization. It should benefit the members of that organization or the people, including people in society, who pay taxes and do all kinds of things, and now they would also become beneficiary, maybe not directly, but at least indirectly, of the good things, the philanthropic things, the charitable things that such a nonprofit carries out. You're following me, right? And by doing that, the government relieve that organization of taxation. So the saints can give to the church without being taxed in a proper kind of a way. Now the money is given to the church in Pleasant Hill. And the church in Pleasant Hill does not belong to any of the elders, although the elders are there as the spiritual leaders of that church, and frequently these elders are also, or conveniently, the board of directors or trustees of that organization as stipulated by the bylaws and of the organization and the law itself, the nonprofit law of the country or the state that governs these organizations. So even from a legal standpoint, brothers, you have no right to access those funds or to use those funds according to your whim, your preference, your decision. So elders, do never make monetary decisions by yourself. That is dangerous and risky. Always make it in the polarity of eldership. That will be balanced and protective and safeguarding even against the secular law. Now, spiritually, even more so. These are not our money. You know who these monies are? These are the saints' money, which means these are the Lord's money. And none of us have a right to use the Lord's money the way we want to. We are just guardians. We are just stewards, temporal stewards of these assets in this organization and these money in the church, these finances in the church. And you know what a steward is. Steward means he doesn't own it. He is just charged to manage it according to what the owner says, you know, what the master decides. And in this case, the master are who? Number one, it is God, the Lord, the Spirit. So we need to seek the Lord. And number two, I would like to say the masters are the saints. It never says in the New Testament, the churches are the churches of the elders, while it says the churches are the churches of the saints. That means the saints are the bosses. The head and the body is the boss of the church, not you. You have no right, no power to do whatever you want, both secularly and spiritually, likewise. So I like to say this word rather strongly this morning. I have 3 minutes, I'm done. Rather strongly this morning, a principle. Dear brothers, handle the finances with utmost care, with transparency. By the way, any saint should be able to access the church books anytime. That's their right as a member. Transparency is important. Proper accountancy is very important. You say, oh, it's just a few hundred dollars. But that's not your few hundred dollars. That's the Lord's and the saints. And in a way, I should say, the states. Do you understand? You're accountable. You're responsible. So there has to be what? Honesty. There has to be judiciousness. There has to be accuracy. The eldership has to use the money in the way that pleases God and pleases the saints. So no ground or room for self-interest and monetary gain. That thought should not even arise in your mind and heart. No, not a bit. Don't do anything to make money off the church. That is shameful. Shameful to the uttermost. All right, brothers? Not fond of money. The church may gift you to support your living. Thank the Lord for that. That is the love of the saints and the faithfulness of the Lord. But on our side, we have no thought to make any money, to near any monetary gain to ourselves. Sorry to say, it has happened. In the recovery, not just outside. I hope that will never happen amongst us. 11:50, this is a good time to break. It's almost too quick, huh? Maybe we have too many breaks. Are we that old? But anyway, supposedly we should have to take a break. So how about this time? 15 minutes. Right? Okay? Come back at 12:05.